Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, I'm Ruth, your host for A Quiet Life, and it's so great to have you here with me back again for a new year. I'm very excited to be back. It's so great to have this excuse to interview people and hear their stories and then to be able to share them with you. That's what I love about this podcast. And yes, it's been a long break since just before Christmas, and I've been away in LA visiting my sister with my parents, and that was amazing. I got to meet up with Sean and Catherine Gaffney, they were Infuse number 49, 48, and 47, Sean and Catherine. We got together and had coffee together at a diner called Paddy's Diner, I think. It's apparently very famous in lots of movies. And chatted away, as you can imagine, for quite some time because I really like talking to them. So anyway, that was very cool. You can hear how much we natter on if you listen to those interviews, if you haven't heard them before. And yes, and so just I feel like I've been away forever, and it's really good to be back on track. Today's episode is episode 51, and our guest is Kylie. She's from Coaching Institute Australia, so she's a life coach, I guess, and she's definitely a coach. I'm not sure that she'd call herself a life coach, but she definitely would call herself a coach. And we talk about listening, because that's a very important part of what coaching is, but it's also very important for us to do. We talk about being versus doing, and Kylie had a new take on that, and it was really good. I thought it was excellent. We talk about imposter complex. We talk about key questions to ask others, but also key questions, I think, to ask ourselves. And I remember, so I met Kylie, as I'll tell you in the interview, at the Bishop's Training Day, Shaped, last year. And she asked these key questions, and I thought, And I had to, you know, sit there and think about it for quite some time. And I've been mulling it over for a bit since, thinking about what I want out of life and, you know, where I am now and where I want to be. I'm giving it away. I didn't mean to give it away. Anyway, she says it better. And I think that this is a really excellent interview to start the year with, because of the challenges of how we organize our lives in it and how we think about where we are and where we're going. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. I really found it useful, even, you know, listening through, doing the transcript and everything. Yesterday, it was just like, oh yeah, I really need to think this through again and take this into account and plan my life. Yes, so there you go. Enjoy Kylie today. So yes, I've had, we had 2.5, nearly 3 weeks in the US. We were in LA, and we went to see the Grand Canyon as well, which was absolutely awesome in the truest sense of the word, and really put everything in perspective in terms of, you know, man-made structures. You look at this canyon and you just think, wow. I think it goes for about as long as the state of Tasmania, that same sort of distance north to south. And it blows your mind, and you just think, you know, man can't do what God has done. So that was really awesome. It was very good to catch up with my sister and to have my parents out there. And we sat in a recording session, and we went to a couple of different churches and just met up with other Christians there, which is always special. It's always special to see the Spirit moving in other places and to know you're part of a worldwide family. And we met a lot of excellent people. So that was that. And I thought in that time that I'd sit there and do a whole lot of thinking about life and my plans for my business. We had all these plans. We took, you know, books and the computer and everything. We thought we'd do a lot of Moz and I thought together we'd do a lot of planning for my businesses and thinking about what we were doing with the podcast and getting ready to rebrand and all that kind of stuff. Well, we didn't. We did a lot of talking to people, meeting people, seeing new things, filling up our minds with new ideas, going to museums and art galleries and walking in nature and all that kind of thing. So yes, it was, if you've heard of the concept of artist dates, this was a very big artist date. My brain is full of new concepts and ideas and pictures and thoughts and whatever, but no plans and no ideas. So I intended to come back and be into things last week, but I actually had to spend last week really thinking about where I was going with this and the other things that I do in my life and planning out things a bit, and that was good. So one of the outcomes from my thinking and planning, and yes, would you believe mind mapping? I'm not a big mind mapper, but I had to do it. Sometimes it's the only way you can link the thoughts together and figure out where things are at. Yes, so one of the outcomes is that I have decided that I will podcast fortnightly this year. Well, sort of. So I will put up a new interview every fortnight this year, and instead of weekly, and take the off week to do what I have been promising all last year but haven't been able to fit in, which is to record the audiobook My Year of Saying No, which is a book that I published in 2018 that I've really wanted to put out as an audiobook in my own voice because it's my own story. And so what I have decided to do is on the off week, so one week I will do a podcast with an interview, and the other week I will do a podcast with a chapter from My Year of Saying No. And that way, by the end of the year, My Year of Saying No should have been recorded, and I can put all those chapters together and release it as an audiobook. And also, you'll have all heard it, which will be very cool, and the podcast will have kept going, and I'll have all the interviews and everything as well. So that's part of my plan for this year, and we'll see how it goes. You know, we always make these plans in January, don't we? And then you get to February and, yeah, things change. But I'm hopeful with this one that it's a doable plan, and that's the plan. Anyway, so I really, yeah, as I say, I love doing this podcast. One of the other things I thought about was why. Why am I doing the podcast? And one of the reasons I do this podcast is just to be company for you. And that's why I do this introduction, so that you get to know me a bit and we have a nice chat. And I hope that I am company, helpful, uplifting company to you. But one of the major reasons I do it is just because there's these incredible stories just in what you would think were normal people's lives. And you scratch the surface, you hear this incredible story, and then I think, well, people need to hear this. This is important to get out. People need to hear these stories to know what other people have been through, to be encouraged, to be uplifted. And so that's, yeah, really important reason for me to do this, is just to get these stories out into the world. And you can help me do that by sharing this podcast and getting other people listening. And so we can share in a variety of ways. I am on iTunes and I am on Spotify, and basically you should be able to find me from every different podcatcher. So if you put in A Quiet Life into any podcatcher search bar, you should be able to find me there. I haven't put myself on Google yet, but that is now a top priority, so that I'm available everywhere, because all Android phones have a Google podcast player, and if I'm in Google, then you'll find me. I mean, you can search Google and find me, but just the Google podcast app, whatever that is. So that will be done, and I'll let you know as soon as that's done. So you can listen to me through that, or you can tell people to find me at ruthamos.com.au/podcast, and then all the stories are available there. And if you have a favourite one, you can tell people, you must listen to Sue Viney, or you must listen to John Zeckendorf, who climbed Mount Everest, or you must listen to Kylie, because she's fantastic. So anyway, please share this podcast with others, and let's see how far we can get these stories traveling around the world, because these people are awesome. I'm going to stop chatting now and let you listen to Kylie. I hope you enjoy this interview with her. Today's guest is Kylie and Kylie Butler, and I met Kylie at the Bishop's training event down here in Hobart called Shaped, which was fantastic. And Kylie gave us an amazing introduction to Christian coaching. So then I went and snaffled her afterwards and said, come on my podcast. So Kylie is the managing director of the Christian Coaching Institute in Australia. It's probably just the Christian Coaching Institute Australia, isn't it? Yes. And she served as a pastor, leader, and a coach with many organisations and has logged over 1,300 coaching hours, including a few this morning, she tells me. She studied business at Monash, theology at Australian College of Ministries.
Yeah.
And master's in church practice through Eastern College Australia. And she's married to Adam and she has two children, Toby and Lily, and they live in Melbourne. So I've got her on Skype so that we can talk. Hey. And she's the queen of asking questions. And so I'm looking forward to asking her some today.
Full on the other side of it today.
Yeah. So Kylie, we always start asking, how did you become a Christian?
I came to faith at the age of around 15, 16, when I was in year 10. I didn't grow up in a Christian family at all. I actually grew up in quite a anti-Christian family, particularly my grandparents. So, God, Christianity was not any, part of my world. It was in my vocabulary, but as a swear word, not as anything positive. And so I didn't grow up in a Christian home at all. I came to faith through actually a couple of friends of mine who I went to school with. They invited me to a couple of youth group things that I, reluctantly went to every now and then. But then one of my girlfriends had a pretty traumatic incident with her dad passing away. Mm. And it was actually through that process or timing that I kind of went, oh, hang on, I think there's something else here. There's more than a coincidence in this. So that actually began a bit of a journey for me of asking questions, primarily arguing with people around faith and does God actually exist. I actually called myself an atheist kind of in my early high school years, so I would never have equated myself to any kind of faith. Ended up kind of making a decision to follow Jesus in my year 10, and I was really petrified, actually, not petrified, that's the wrong word, I was really anxious about coming home and kind of telling Mum and Dad, I'd gone down the front and had a chat to the person at the front, and she said, you know what you're doing? I'm like, not really, but I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And she said, okay, well, you need to be able to tell your Mum and Dad about this. I'm like, no way. You don't know my parents. There's no way I'm going to do this. She kind of said, well, if you really have made a decision to follow Jesus, then you need to tell your Mum and Dad. So I kind of found a time and place to be able to have the conversation with Mum, and she ended up saying, actually, I've been thinking about this too. Maybe we can go to church together.
Wow.
It was just, I couldn't believe it. So unbeknownst to me, Mum had been journeying in her own faith kind of journey with one of my friend's mums. So I'd been tracking with the daughter. She'd been tracking with the mum. And so she'd been having this kind of wrestle with God in the midst of that as well. So she actually came to faith a number of months after me.
Wow.
And so then we ended up both being baptized together about 12 months later, which was beautiful. Mm. And then about 5 years later, my dad came to faith. Wow. And so we've kind of, now I've got parents who, we go to church together. My mum actually works with me at Christian Coaching Institute. So we're just like this, it's just magnificent. But I wouldn't, if you'd asked me that at kind of, in my early teens, I wouldn't have imagined this at all. So
absolutely. That's amazing.
It's good. It's pretty awesome to be able to sell, actually.
Yeah, for sure. And you're very into intergenerational ministry then.
Absolutely. Yes.
Great. So can you tell me what is coaching?
Yeah, I get that question a bit because I was this, well, kind of there's these words that get thrown around, coaching, mentoring, counselling, like those helping disciplines, and often they get interchanged together, particularly coaching and mentoring. Mm. But coaching is around, particularly Christian coaching, is about asking great questions in order for the person to draw something out for themselves. So mentoring, if we kind of give a really short understanding, mentoring is generally someone who's older and wiser, more equipped with knowledge in a particular field, mm. and they're inputting that information to somebody. And often, you know, a good mentor is going to ask outstanding questions as well and be a great listener. However, a coach doesn't need to have any expertise or knowledge around a particular topic. It's based on the understanding that the person on the other side of the table actually understands their context, their culture, their family, their organization much better than the coach does. So coaching's around drawing out and mentoring about putting in. And where I guess the distinction with Christian coaching is that it's based on the understanding that, you know, every believer already has an advisor, that advisor being the Holy Spirit. So how do we tap in to what God is already doing in and around that person and work together to be able to see someone fully live out God's calling?
Sure, absolutely. I love that idea of you've got the Holy Spirit in you, and just it's almost about taking time, putting time aside to listen and hear what he has to say and to help you out.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So if I can be really cheeky, then obviously you don't need any training to be a coach.
Well, with the Holy Spirit at work. However, I think so many of us, I know I take myself for example, I'm quite happy to talk. I can, you know, talk all the time without any problems whatsoever. And, you know, I kind of go, hey, I've studied a lot. I've had a, you know, pretty decent life experience. There's a whole lot of advice and wisdom that I could give you. Mm. However, it's from my context and my understanding. And we have this idea often, you know, when we're told something, there's something in human nature that kind of rebels or goes, you can't tell me this, and we've got to figure it out for ourselves. So the idea is, how do we help people to understand and figure it out for themselves, to increase buy-in, to increase responsibility and accountability? There are some things you know, as leaders, as supervisors, as parents, you kind of, we need to tell people what to do, but in more of those kind of processing items and thinking through stuff and trying to work out what's the best option, getting someone asking questions in order for them to unpack it means that they own it more and they want to actually do something with it and transform and change.
Yeah, absolutely. So what if somebody was interested in becoming a coach, what would you suggest that they do?
Come to Christian Coaching Institute.
Stupid question.
Well, yeah, perfect lead-in, wasn't it? Sales 101. No, there are a number of coaching organisations that are around Australia, depending on, I guess, the particular area that you want to grow in. Mm. Currently, there is no regulations around the coaching industry. I know that it will come in with the government, you know, in the next 5 or 10 years would be my assumption, but we don't have any idea around that. So the reality is, anyone can just call themselves a coach.
Just hang your shingle out.
And so what you want to look for is actually somewhere that is qualified and accredited with a particular kind of body. Mm. So Christian Coaching Institute, we align ourselves with the International Coaching Federation, which is an international global body that lots of organisations go through. Mm. But you want to ask yourself first, what sort of coaching do you want to do? Because there's life coaches, business coaches, parenting coach, there's so many different sorts of coaching, and then you'd want to find out where has that niche for you. For us at Christian Coaching Institute, we're the only Christian coaching organization that does training in Australia. Actually, sorry, there's one organization that runs in Sydney and does a 2-day course. But yeah, so kind of if you want Christian coaching, we're it currently.
Wow. So what sort of what length of training do you guys offer?
Ours is 6 months. Yeah. So intensive classes online. So we all do it via live online, like through a video platform.
Yeah.
which means that people can be anywhere around Australia and just log in together each week, which means also means that you've got a live trainer, live people, but you can still be in your PJs in your bedroom, really.
No, it's fantastic. As long as the shirt up here looks good, you're fine.
Yeah, shirt on the top and
PJs on the under. Love working from home.
Yeah.
So you're doing like training as well as coaching. You must be reasonably busy to be keeping all that up and running. And you go and do talks around the nation and stuff as well.
Yeah, I actually, so my this thing you saw me at the Bishops Conference are probably more of the things that I do.
Mm.
We actually have a team of Christian coaches and trainers that work with us. So I'm not the only person in the space. So yeah. I have incredible, amazing team who do a whole heap of the training stuff now. Mm. So we have coaches that, so there would be stacks of people that they're coaching and training every month.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you get into coaching?
Yeah. When I first stepped into pastoral ministry, which is well over 20 years ago, I was kind of, as part of my internship, I was allocated a coach as a part of that beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what that was. She just happened to be the person that actually, she pioneered Christian coaching and the Institute. So Christian Coaching Institute in Australia, it was called something else back then.
Mm.
So she was one of the founding members. And so she coached me. And she didn't tell me about it. I just knew that this is what it was. And it just worked for me. I'm like, this is fantastic. So then I just imitated what she did with me, with my team and staff. And I went, huh, this thing works. I'm not walking away with as many things on my to-do list as what I thought I or what I used
yeah,
to.
Nice.
And they go away and they actually do what they say they're going to do and they come back and they're really inspired and empowered. I'm like, huh, this actually works. Then in 2010, I went through a pretty difficult transition, and during the transition, my coach said to me, hey, Kai, why don't you do some training? And I'm like, oh, okay. All right then. So I sat and did some of the intensive training, which went for 12 months back then. That got to the end of day two and I went, oh, this is me. Like now I get what you've been going on about. And so really that was kind of the beginning, like the real beginning of there was no turning back since then. And then I came on team in 2012. As part of the Christian Coaching Institute, different name back then, but and it was kind of like it was part of imitation, and it worked. So I'm like, oh, this thing works. It's much better.
It's a bit like Eugene Peterson said in his book The Pastor about finding a job that's congruent with your personality. Seems absolutely. Like this is the one you found. That's straight down the line.
I love it. Yeah.
So how's your faith show in what you do?
In so many ways. So our coaching course is obviously that's the foundation as to what we look at it. And then as part of the coaching, obviously most of my coaching is with Christian leaders. So that becomes integral in both prayer, but also tapping into what is God doing and saying to the person. But really coaching sits as a foundation for us. In scripture, we look right back to Genesis chapter 3, where, Adam and Eve have just done the dodgy in the garden and they've gone into hiding. And God comes to them in the cool of the evening and he asks this question, he says, Adam, where are you? And I go, well, that's the most interesting question, because the God of the universe knows exactly where Adam is. So why is he asking Adam the question? And he asked this question to help Adam to understand not that he's hiding behind a bush where, but actually where is he emotionally, where is he spiritually, where is he mentally, and helping to locate where he is. And I think a whole part of coaching is actually helping people to locate where they are. Understanding what's going on, the fog in their minds, the amount of things that we carry can just get overwhelming. So helping people to kind of step back, pause, locate themselves and figure out where they are is a key part of it. Mm. And we see that obviously in Genesis. Then we fast forward to the Gospels where, you know, Jesus asks a man who's been crippled for 38 years. He says, well, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And the man goes, oh, I need someone to get me back into the pond. I can't get in, or not into the pond, into the pool. I can't get in quick enough when the angels stir the water. I can't get in quick enough to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that answer fascinating of actually this guy, he really wants to be healed, but all he can see is that he wants to get into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And so that question of is what do you want? What is it that you want God to do? What is it that you want Jesus to do for you? And so they sit as kind of the two foundational questions for us as Christian coaches. Where are you and what do you want? So understanding more about your current context and then what do you actually do? What do you need to do to be able to move forward, get breakthrough in the life that God has called you to?
They're really amazingly foundational questions, aren't they? I think everyone could
absolutely
stand to sit down even with a journal and have a bit of a think about where am I? What do I want? Yeah. I think since the Bishop's Training Day, I've been sitting here just mulling over, what do I want? What do I want? What do
it's
I actually...
It's a really hard question to answer when you really ask it of yourself.
Yeah, if you have to, if you exclude all the... No, if you don't exclude all the things that you think are impossible, so you shouldn't ask for them. It's amazing. So when do you feel close to God?
When do I feel close? There are probably a couple of times. One is being at the beach, so I only leave a few minutes from the beach. And it's probably just out in nature generally, but there's something around the water. So I will every 2 months I have a prayer retreat day. So I start off in a coffee shop and journal and get everything out of my head that is, you know, tying up in there. And it's generally that vent prayer to God or a journal prayer to God in that spot with a coffee, probably more than one coffee. And then I'll walk along the beach and just spend that time with him in nature. Then also probably in my veggie garden, pulling up weeds, picking, you know, fresh veggies and fruit off the tree. They're probably the two kind of most poignant moments, apart from regular reading and prayer that happens every day, but they would be the two big moments for me.
Can I ask how you do that regular reading and prayer every day? Are you a get up at 4:30 in the morning kind of person?
I do get up at 5.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because my household gets up at 6:30. And so I am actually introverted. I'm not on the lower scale, but I need myself and my own time to recharge.
Mm.
So I'm currently reading through the Bible in a Year Bible. And so that's where I'm. Yeah, so that actually takes a fairly decent amount of time every day to do. Actually, I do miss days. There are days every week that I miss. Let's be really honest. I don't read it every day as much as I possibly can.
You make us feel better.
Every day. So that would be my morning. And then there's particular people that I'm praying for. Actually, I've picked up the one-to-one thing that Bishop Richard talked around praying for someone.
Yes.
There's two people that I'm praying for 1 minute every morning immediately after that. So they're in my kind of bookmark. So I set my alarm and pray for them each time I'm reading as well. Mm. And then there's often just the prayer that happens after that and throughout the day for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's one thing about God or Christianity that you wish everyone knew?
If I think about particularly the people that I coach, most of them are in Christian leadership from the ones I coach. Our team coaches a whole heap, but most of mine are senior leaders, senior pastors, CEOs or senior associates within their church or organization. And there's often this idea of part of it is the imposter syndrome, which happens to both men and women. And so that can often, we can often get caught up in our own mind of actually not being good enough, which is completely, you know, that we know that, that we're not. But that God, even in amongst our frailty as humans, that God still uses us. And even when we feel like we're not good enough, or the imposter, we feel like we're faking it, or we're doing it fearful and don't and need boldness and courageousness to be able to do it, which we do. But even in that, it's that sense of just take the step that God's asking of you, because he's with you. Mm. He's all in for you. He's 100% in. So trust in that he is for you and is in for you. To do and be all that God's called you to be. Mm. That's the one. And the second one would actually be around being and doing. And this idea of we have to always, you know, we have to get to be. Mm. Which is true. And, you know, we know that verse, you know, be still and know that I am God. It's really hard to be in this world. And to live out of being. And we want to be able to get to that place, but not to beat ourselves up if we're not there. I think doing and being is a bit more like two tracks that you know, we have doing on one side and being on the other. And we actually flick back and forward between doing and being, between that competence and character, throughout our life. And to kind of go, there are seasons to learn and do and increase skills and competence, and there are seasons to be and rest and abide and to allow the season to be that it is. And then when the track, when you change from one track to another, it's okay.
Yeah. It's like often we need to, in order to get us into that being space, God needs to, I'm careful with my words here, allow us to become sick, because there's no other way that he can get us to
slow down.
Yeah.
Yes. I have heard that before. Experienced that before.
yeah, absolutely. You got any tips for us in how to relax into that being space?
If I could do that myself, that would be good. I think if I look at even to say, I would be, it's for me, I'm a maximizer achiever. On the Enneagram, I'm a 3, so I like to get stuff done. I love doing that. And so for me, I actually need to schedule that abiding restful time in and choose to switch off. So for me, you know, putting in the times in the calendar that I'm at the beach and I switch my phone off, and purposely choose to do that, because otherwise I know, and I do it at the start of the year. So I have a mentor that helps me to block key things in, you know, date nights, holidays, and prayer times, and a couple of other things as key things that I do at the, generally it's in actually at the end of the year before everything else goes in. Because then
very good idea.
But I need accountability to do that. So I actually struggle to do that on my own. So I know that about myself. So I put great people around me to keep me accountable to stuff. So for me, that's really helpful in the abiding. Switching off technology is really, really helpful. And for me, that sense of actually doing that journaling process at the start, whether it's a full day or whether it's just in the morning, sometimes there are things that are just clogging up our brain too much. We need to get out before we can actually kind of just sit and be.
I'm such a fan of journaling. It's just, it's my thing. I have a whole shelf of journals up there full of rubbish, really, that are just blurted out onto the page. No one should ever read them.
True.
Yeah, great. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Often people think that coaching you can only do with like in a professional space. Mm. I actually use the coaching skills with my kids. I've got a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old, and the idea and the skill of being able to ask questions first and ask questions in a way that doesn't, there's not that leading question of I'm asking you through you this question and you're going to land at this answer because that's the right answer that I as a parent think, but actually being able to kind of ask really neutral questions has been quite impactful for us as a family, and particularly the kids, and being able to own and make some of the decisions that they have. So encourage people, even rather than kind of first stepping in to give advice or correction, or sometimes you need to correction, but to actually ask that curious question first without presupposing what the answer is. With kids, a little bit harder with our spouse, but also with colleagues that we work with as well. Mm. It can actually bring empowerment and transformation to the people that we work with.
Yeah, I love that, the attitude of unjudgmental curiosity. So that the curiosity of just tell me what you're thinking. I really want to understand. Listen first to understand.
Yes.
From the Seven Habits that I read recently.
Right, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And listening is one of those incredible gifts that we can offer people. We live in such a noisy, full world that, you know, there is so much that is, or, you know, even if you're on, there's often music on, or you jump and the radio's on, or even just visually, there's this kind of noise that is out in our world. And so the gift that we can offer someone of listening and, like, really listening is really empowering. And, you know, that sense of being present with someone as God is present with us, you know, putting the phone away, not being distracted, actually being totally present and listening and asking the questions out of the conversation because we love them and we're curious is one of the greatest gifts that we can offer to somebody else.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Kylie. It's been excellent.
No problem at all. It's been great to be here.
It was a great way to start the year, I think. Remember to ask yourself the big questions and to listen to others with curiosity and without judgment. I would love to hear your comments on today's episode. You can comment where you find the link on Facebook. You can comment by emailing me at ruth@ruthamos.com.au. You can comment on the website. You can comment on Twitter at A Quiet Life. Or if you want to, you can support me at patreon.com/quietlife. But anyway, I would love to hear from you. And I want to thank Catherine Joy from Joy Music House, especially for the music. And I look forward to chatting to you again next week.